Welcome to the world today. My name is Frank Weltner. I am the librarian for JewWatch, the largest compendium of information about Jewish organizations and news on the internet today. In addition, I am the librarian and archivist for a new website, www.americanussr.com, which is already the largest compendium of history concerning the negative aspects of the United States of America, which the CIA, FBI, the presidency, the Congress, and all other agencies of the United States want you to know nothing about. Shortly before 6:30 p.m. on Sunday night, the first cracks appeared in the dam. The largest ever leak of U.S. government classified documents streamed out online, revealing never publicly seen details about Iran, North Korea, Afghanistan, and Russia. Throughout the week, the stream became a torrent of information about how U.S. diplomats and foreign governments see the world. According to these classified cables, Saudi Arabia wanted Washington to bomb Iran. The UK harbors deep concerns about the safety and security of Pakistan's nuclear weapons. And Russia is considered a virtual mafia state, with its president, Vladimir Putin, accused of amassing illicit proceeds from his time in office. But perhaps most embarrassing for Hillary Clinton, who is U.S. Secretary of State, is ultimately responsible for the content of most of the cables released so far, was a cable that revealed Washington is running a spying campaign targeted at the Secretary General Ban Ki-moon and the rest of the United Nations leadership, as well as the permanent Security Council representatives from China, Russia, France, and the UK. We received these reports thanks to the efforts of Robert Booth and Haroon Sadiq of The Guardian newspaper. And now we read from Zin Gardner's opinion piece the following report. "Think about it," Zin Gardner says. "Where is the seemingly staged WikiLeaks furor taking us? While we participate into digging into the juicy tidbits of information that incriminate just about anybody and everybody, where is it all going? While 9/11 served as a wake-up call to those awake and aware enough to see the obvious demolitions and misinformation and resultant Pearl Harbor effect, most of the world fell for it. And now people are literally bending over, as in airport screenings, to the onslaught of police state fascism worldwide. It's staggering. In fact, it's Orwellian. The armies, police, and private sector are at war with the vague concept of terrorism, an unbeatable enemy in a war that can be drawn out indefinitely and fought in any arena necessary. And what was the result of this declared war on terrorism? Not a war on terror, but an increase in fear and terror, all to justify the economic, social, and political clampdown that has followed. What will the WikiLeaks debacle herald? You guessed it. The last bastion of freedom of information and expression, the free internet, will topple. After all, if information is now the enemy, we must carefully police any and every aspect of this dangerous medium, all for the safety and protection of we the people. Oh, we still have the internet, just like you can still fly. You'll just have to be on the approved list, screened, stamped, zapped, mugged, and molested, if you want to get on the net. No biggie. Thanks, Julian. Job well done." According to a report by Kurt Nemo at Infowars.com, the sheriff of Nottingham Forest has appeared. His name is Newt Gingrich. Nemo writes, "Outspoken neocon and former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich told Fox's Judge Napolitano over the weekend that WikiLeaks is a terrorist organization, and its founder, Julian Assange, should be considered an enemy combatant. Gingrich also appeared on Fox News with Chris Wallace, "I approach this very seriously," Gingrich told Wallace. "Information warfare is warfare, and Julian Assange is engaged in warfare. Information terrorism, which leads to people getting killed, is terrorism, and Julian Assange is engaged in terrorism," Newt Gingrich said. "Gingrich is advocating either the murder of Julian Assange or that he be subject to extraordinary rendition, hunted down, kidnapped, and sent to a secret CIA torture center in Egypt or Poland. Newt considers Assange on par with Meher Arar, the Canadian citizen who was kidnapped and sent bound and chained to Syria to be tortured until he signed a confession stating he was with the CIA's Al-Qaeda. For many so-called conservatives, who are in fact warmongering neocon holdovers from the Bush era, Assange is next to John Philip Walker Lind, a.k.a. Taliban John, the American citizen who made the mistake of joining the Taliban as thousands joined, with encouragement by the Saudis and the CIA, and was captured in Afghanistan. He will spend the next 20 years in prison. Gingrich is attempting to keep alive the neocon psychology of forever war, as formulated by Dick Cheney and the Project for a New American Century. Gautam Nagesh writes in The Hill today that Senators John Ensign, Republican of Nevada, Joe Lieberman, Independent of Connecticut, and Scott Brown, Republican of Massachusetts, introduced a bill Thursday aimed at stopping WikiLeaks by making it illegal to publish the names of military or intelligence community informants. Ensign accused WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange and his cronies of hindering America's war efforts and creating a hit list for U.S. enemies by outing intelligence sources. "Our sources are bravely risking their lives when they stand up against the tyranny of Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, and murderous regimes, and I simply will not stand by idly as they become death targets because of Julian Assange," Ensign wrote. "Let me be very clear. WikiLeaks is not a whistleblower website, and Assange is not a journalist." All I can say, Senator Ensign, is that you're standing next to the great traitor Joe Lieberman, a dual citizen and a Zionist at heart, who doesn't have anything good in his heart for the United States of America, but for Israel only. You, Mr. Ensign, need to watch those with whom you associate, or people are going to get the wrong idea about you. Or maybe the right idea, in which case you'll find it very difficult to be reelected. It's been such a long time since I've been able to say something good about a senator or a congressman. And it reminds me that the United States is in more trouble than we even bargained for. They're representing not the American people, but the great bankers of the world, to whom they have given $13 to $25 trillion in our future funds, expecting us to pay for these particular legislative events. But I don't think we're going to pay for that. I'm not going to pay for it, and I know that you're not going to, because this was money that was given to people outside of our own country, when there are plenty of things in America that need to be attended to. But these people are more interested in the federal government and in the empire than in the American people. And that's the trouble with an empire. An empire always exploits its own people for its own fascist purposes, and that's exactly what America's Senate and House have become, elements of the fascism of the freak show in Washington, D.C. And it's time that this charade ends. Now, all of my life, I've tried my best to stand up for America, but I can no longer in good conscience do so, because America is a warmongering nation, a beast that is constantly murdering people overseas, and that is constantly holding black flag operations, where it falsely accuses people of being terrorists, which it's able to prove by taking a hold of them, those who are idiots with soft brains, and offering them the opportunity to work for CIA's Al-Qaeda, and to go out and get bombs for them and detonators, and escort them around the Caribbean or wherever else they want to go in order to get these things, and then to accuse them of wanting to bomb the United States, when in fact the entire situation was prefabricated by the federal government in order to prove that the FBI knows what it's doing with terrorists. Yes, it does know. It's creating false terrorists and then accusing them of terrorism after it supplies them with all of the weapons necessary for them to do their dirty deed. A deed which they never even thought of in the wildest of their dreams until these ideas were put into their minds by the criminals of the federal government. The federal government did this to the Somalian who they arrested for wanting to bomb a Christmas tree ceremony in Portland. They provided him with all of the detonators and materials necessary. Before that, the Christmas bomber, the one who was going to evidently set off a bomb in his underwear, which is an absurdity to begin with, these agents were caught red-handed demanding that the Christmas bomber be placed on an airplane after the authorities at the airport said that he couldn't enter the plane, that they didn't trust him. They insisted that he be placed on the plane because they had to have that particular news story on Christmas Eve so they could falsely prove that the FBI was doing its job. And the list goes on and on and on, and you can find much of it at AmericanUSSR.com. www.AmericanUSSR.com, where you will find thousands of negative CIA and medical atrocities performed by the American government over and over again throughout its history, especially its recent history, as the empire gains its hold over the United States and the nation itself is put to sleep by the thugs in Washington, D.C. We in America are in the same distasteful position as those were in Nazi Germany and in Communist Russia, in the Soviet Union, when they discovered that they were in the thrall of an empire of evil. The British discovered this when they discovered that their own nation had gone after an empire around the world and was drafting people into navies and was holding sway with innocent people around the world simply to import pepper. Empires almost always start small. But you can tell an empire by the size of the Army, Navy, and Air Force that the particular nation holds. The United States has the largest army, the largest air force, and the largest navy in the world. We know by this that we are looking at a fascist empire that is out of control. Why is it out of control? Because it has the army, the navy, and the air force to use to threaten other people and other nations, to make itself an utter pariah around the world, which it does over and over and over again, while the rest of the world looks upon us the way we used to look upon Red China and the Soviet Union, which is what we have become. Which is why you should every day go to www.AmericanUSSR.com to look for new radio shows and to read the news about what your country has done today and what it has done throughout history to ingratiate itself with evil in this world. It hurts me to tell you these things, but truth is always difficult. It takes a mature person to look truth in the eye and to stare it down and to absorb it, and to understand it, and to realize that truth is more valuable than anything else in this world. And it is a world of lies that we live in. Our governments everywhere around this world are lying to us about what they're doing, about their hopes, their aims, their aspirations. They tell us that the enemy is outside of us. Then they tell us that the enemy is inside of us. And they work us back and forth with these lies that they cast through the newspapers, which are owned by their friends, by the elitists, the rich who want to hold on to their wealth, the rich who do not want to be taxed by government, but who want government to tax us, to pay the rich for contracts, rich contracts, in wars around the world, so that the Halliburtons and other backwater fascist groups of mercenaries can leech money from the federal treasury and make themselves billionaires, while we, who toil in this country, become paupers to the empire. Sarah Jerome reports in The Hill that House Republicans who support net neutrality legislation could face political consequences for regulating the internet from Tea Party activists. While telecommunications groups appear ready to provide cover for Republicans who want to support the legislation against freedom of the press, the Tea Party movement that has defeated several incumbent Republicans in primaries this year, has been skeptical of net neutrality proposals backed by Democrats. I hope GOP House members keep in mind that the fired-up group of people this cycle is the Tea Party, said Seton Motley, who runs the group Less Government, which argues against burdensome government regulations. House Energy and Commerce Committee Chairman Henry Waxman, Democrat of California, is expected to introduce his net neutrality bill this week, possibly as soon as Tuesday. It is expected to have support from industry stakeholders, including some phone and cable companies. The Democratic lawmakers involved with the legislation are courting GOP support to usher the measure through the House during the lame duck session. But there are already signs that it will be difficult. Republican Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, a member of the House Energy and Commerce Communications Subcommittee, seems skeptical of Waxman's bill. Blackburn has previously sponsored legislation that would prohibit the FCC from imposing net neutrality rules and has argued that regulating the Internet would hamper innovation and the spread of broadband. And we have Sarah Jerome of The Hill to thank for that report. It reminds me that when AM radio first started in the 1900s and 1920s, that women would, in many occasions, visit one of their friends who had a small transmitter that transmitted openly on the AM band. It was perfectly legal at that time to transmit on the AM band, and with a one-tube transmitter, women around the world would go to their friend's kitchen, sit down around a table with a microphone, which they would pass around, and give their opinion on the daily news. This news would go all over the city, and people listened to it, and hungrily wanted to know what common people were thinking about the situation in the world. And they were entertained tremendously by this, and anybody who wanted to be a radio broadcaster could be a radio broadcaster and could reach everyone in whatever city they were in, whether it was Brooklyn or New York or Manhattan, which of course are in the same city, St. Louis, Boston, wherever they were, they could reach their entire city using just a few watts of AM power. But today, the radio stations have been commercialized. You need a license to be able to be heard by anybody within your community. And it used to be that you could stand out on your street in the city, and you could use a microphone and a bullhorn, and you could talk to everybody on the street. But today, these streets are empty because the shopping malls have taken over. So where you once had public streets where you could talk to people and hand out leaflets, you now go to a privately owned shopping mall where fascism is the name of the game. Suddenly you find that you can't talk to your own people. You're cut off from your own citizens, because if you seek to use a loudspeaker to talk to these people in the mall, you will be immediately removed because the owner of the mall has said, no, you can't do that. And so the entire American public has been removed from those who wish to be activists, from those who wish to inform other people. And the fascists who own these things, these elitists, these banksters, these rich people who want to control everyone's mind through newspapers that they and their friends own, will keep you from being able to reach anyone. And the only reason I'm reaching you now is that the Internet is like AM radio at its beginning, before the commercialists were able to take over and monopolize it for themselves and to shut everybody's mouth in the entire American Republic, which has sufficed since 1921, when the FCC began licensing the AM stations and smashing people's radio stations with baseball bats if they ever wanted to broadcast on those same frequencies that were open to them before the commercial stations began to take over. We must fight for the Internet. We must not allow this Internet to be taken from us. For if we do, we will be cast back into the darkness, and you'll have no reason to come to the Internet, because it will be just as boring as network television, and just as dishonest. I am webcasting to you in the golden age of communication, where once again anyone anywhere in the world, even in a grass hut, as long as he has a battery and a tape recorder, can make for you a radio show and send it out to everyone in the world for next to nothing. This is the golden age. This is the golden calf of knowledge that the gods of our world do not want us to have. They are very selfish of knowledge and information. They are the high priests that used to control Egypt and Greece and all of the other nations of this world in ancient times, who paralyzed the minds of mankind and used that paralysis to persuade them to go to war against so-called enemies who really meant them no harm whatsoever, but who were lied about the same as enemies today are lied about in our own temples, which are the newspapers and the media, which tell us what to think. These temples of capitalist ownership that are owned by the rich and the elite, by the banksters, have led us down the primrose path to World War I, World War II, the Civil War. They have allowed cunning activists to tell us lies about the reality of our situations until we were finally ensnared in wars that cost tens of thousands of lives and that changed fortunes from one family and one state to another. We must not allow this to happen again. We must seize the day. We must keep the internet free so that you, when you feel the need to, can take your microphone in your computer and you can talk to everyone in the world and say, I'm sick and tired of it. I'm not going to put up with it anymore. And I'm going to open my mouth and tell what I see as the truth of this world, which is that the United States of America has become a fascist nation of war, that has been at war for the past 100 years and has every intention of staying at war, and of telling you that it's your fault, that you, not the terrorists, but you, are the terrorists. Well, I don't think you are terrorists at all. The real terrorists are the governments of the United States of America, Great Britain, and all of these other nations that want to tell their people what they should think. These are the terrorists. These are the fiends that you must be aware of. Are you up to the task? Are you willing to participate? Are you willing to listen to internet radio and to decide for yourself who and what is correct in this world of deceptions? We live in a very dangerous time, a time in which we are being taxed for warfare in Iraq and in Afghanistan. And next year it'll be some other country. There'll be one country after another, because that's how empires work. They soften up the world, nation by nation, placing their bases in those nations and then moving on to another country to take over, to destroy, to kill millions of people, and to extend the power and the grasp of the capital city, which in our case is Washington, D.C. We didn't come to America for this type of thing. We didn't sign up for this. But our enemies have taken over this country, and they are using it now as a proxy for their wars. And you and I are supposed to pay for those wars and fight for them. Well, I can tell you this. These wars are not in the interest of the United States of America. No war on terror, no war on drugs is in the interest of the United States of America. Americans are not terrorists. Americans have never bombed their own cities. This is absurd. The whole idea is absurd. The only time our cities have been bombed was in 9/11. And this was done by the United States government itself. And millions of people already know that. 70% believe the federal government was behind the bombings in New York in 9/11. And from the history that went on after then, the wars in the Middle East based on the fake war on terror that started with 9/11, you can see the whole trail leading back to Washington, D.C., to the Mossad, the CIA, and all of these other deceptive operatives that are there to cloud men's minds, to foist deceptions and lies upon us all, and to turn us into the horror known as empire. At this very moment while I'm speaking, I can hear sirens outside my window for the usual Monday test at 11 a.m. of the civilian safety system, which was put in place after the invention of the hydrogen bomb. People all over America listen to this every Monday, and the reason that we listen to it is that, number one, they want to have these systems in place in case there's a tornado, or in the unlikely event of a war. but they really want us to know that we need the government. We need the government to run these sirens to warn us of when we're about to die from some natural or national threat. Well, we know exactly what these sirens are about. Each one of you realizes instinctively that the government wants these sirens to keep you frightened, to keep you afraid, and to keep you aware that the government is watching you, that the government stands ready to arrest you at a moment's notice for anything that you might think or do. People from the Soviet Union have come here and have remarked that America is less free than the Soviet Union was in its heyday. And I believe that I have been hounded by the federal government. I've been hounded by them and threatened with imprisonment. And many of the dissidents that I know of who have radio shows have ended up in jail for one cockamamie made-up story after another by the federal government. Usually they're called racists or they're called terrorists or something else. Well, this government is so seedy that I don't even want to talk about it. It just makes me sick to think that America, which was based on ending the power of King George, has become worse than King George himself, and that we have to cower beneath these fascists in Washington, in the city where the freak show continues. You don't have to have a radio show to know what I mean. How many of you have cowered behind the flash guns of the IRS, who are constantly looking over your shoulder to see if you're reporting everything that you earn in your measly little life, where you scrounge out the money to pay for your house payments, to pay for your car payments, to pay for clothes and food for your children, and that you have to worry about the fascists of the IRS coming to shake you down for more money, to pretend that you owe more than you actually owe, to hound you, to let you know that you are a piece of junk in a world of fascist lies, and that they can come and get you at any moment they want to, so that you keep your mouth shut, so that they won't look at you, so they won't hassle you, so they won't come after you, because you know, basically, that you are a slave on a plantation. Bloomberg News says that this week's disclosures of data from the Fed's rescue efforts during the 2007-2008 financial crisis show how the central bank employed companies to help design or run programs they could use to their benefit. Federated tapped the money market rescue for $8.89 billion, according to federal data. Pacific Investment Management Company and BlackRock, Inc. weren't the only advisors to the Fed. They were also trading securities they helped value, the Fed data shows, which, of course, is of questionable ethical merit. That's the way the system works, said David Castillo, senior managing director at Further Lane Securities in San Francisco. He said it's problematic that they're customers, but that shouldn't limit their ability to participate in the process. Quite frankly, we don't have a choice. They have the expertise. In compliance with the Dodd-Frank financial overhaul law, the Fed on December 1st identified the institutions that used $3.3 trillion of improvised rescue programs. The 21,000 transactions and 11 initiatives included the money market plan that Cunningham helped devise, known as the AMLF, short for its 10-word formal name, the Asset-Backed Commercial Paper Money Market Mutual Fund Liquidity Facility. In its scramble to keep the economy from collapsing and to save the 401ks of millions of borrowers, the Fed also created the Commercial Paper Funding Facility, or CPFF, which tried to ensure the banks and industrial companies had the short-term loans they needed to fund everyday operations. General Electric Company, then the biggest issuer of commercial paper, met with Treasury and Fed officials in the days before they created the CPFF. Later, the Fed set up the Term Asset-Backed Securities Loan Facility, or TALF, to keep consumer credit flowing. It hired PIMCO, manager of the world's largest bond fund, and BlackRock, the world's biggest money manager, to provide analytical help, according to a November 20th report by the Fed's Office of Inspector General. Any situation where the potential exists for a conflict of interest is concerning, said Kurt Bardella, spokesman for Representative Daryl Issa, the California Republican, who will become the chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee next month. He said this really brings into focus one of the unintended consequences of institutionalizing the federal government, picking winners and losers, while those entities are partaking directly and indirectly in what should be exclusive government functions. And so there we have it from Bloomberg. How the insidious capitalist system helps to change the money system while eating from the dish of the money system itself, so that as they are making changes, they are eating profits from the changes themselves, because it's certainly difficult to make changes that will impact negatively upon your own profits, isn't it? And so, of course, we know that they didn't do that. They created profits for themselves while they changed the system to their own betterment. Similar to the way that Lehman was put to sleep by Goldman Sachs, the people from Goldman Sachs who were working in Washington who decided to put it to sleep so that the company that they came from would be able to benefit from the death of Lehman Brothers. And so there we have it. There we have it, the way America works, through one greedy interest group after another, eating from the table and impoverishing all of the rest of us. This is all done at the behest of our traitorous government in Washington, where the freak show takes place every minute of the day, where the rich call by long distance from New York, from Goldman Sachs and other institutions, to tell their congressmen what they want to have done on that particular moment. Congressmen who will not listen to the people in their own districts, but who listen only to the rich and the powerful who pay for their elections. Because the people like you and I, well, we can be counted upon to vote for them because we stupidly do so all the time. Most of these senators and congressmen will always be reelected. Many of them reside within districts that are safely theirs, that have been gerrymandered so that the election is already known way before it starts. And there are so many Republicans in the Republican districts that the Democrats can never win. And so many Democrats in their Democratic districts that Republicans can never win. And on and on and on, one district after another. Why, there's really no reason to vote. The outcome is already assured by the gerrymandering of each of these little districts, so that all that's left is the counting of the votes, which will always come out in favor of the incumbents, so that no matter what you or I want, they don't even have to listen to us. This is an America gone wild, an America that is mad with the power of the rich and the wealthy, so that even our schools have been taken away from us. Federal laws that tell our schools how they're going to operate, that tell us why we have to take these courses and those courses, and why other things that are unmentionable have to be done in schools that were never done before, so that the school becomes basically a kind of armband for fascism, so that each child is taught to love the American government with all of its hideousness, and is told that capitalism is wonderful and the cooperation among businesses is bad, even though most businesses cooperate with each other all the time. They cooperate by taking over all of their competitors, putting them out of business so that there's only one business that sells a particular product. This is why we have huge Walmarts and Sam's and huge department stores that are able to control the market, control the price, and make sure that you and I have to pay top dollar for everything that we need in our lives. President Barack Obama reached agreement Monday with Republican leaders in Congress on a broad tax package that would extend the Bush-era income tax cuts for 2 years, reduce worker payroll taxes for 1 year, and give more favorable treatment to business investments. Other elements of the deal include a temporary reinstatement of the estate tax at 35%, the exact level favored by most Republican lawmakers, as well as an extension of jobless benefits for the long-term unemployed. "We have arrived at a framework for a bipartisan agreement," Mr. Obama said on Monday night, capping weeks of negotiations with leaders in Congress. "The outcome of the negotiations is vital because the current tax levels signed into law by President George W. Bush expire on December 31st. And unless Congress acts, tax rates on virtually all Americans who pay income taxes will rise on January 1st. That could affect economic growth and even holiday sales. So there you have it, a complete turnaround by the president of his campaign promises that he was going to sock it to the rich and not let them get by with the taxes that they were avoiding under the Bush administration. All the statements about fairness and equity among the population is just gone by the wayside. Not that this is necessarily a bad thing, but it doesn't look too promising for the president's reliability as far as many of his own voters are concerned. The Democrats themselves are mortified. The Republicans, on the other hand, are pretty pleased because their particular packages are the ones that the president has supported. In my opinion, the president is trying to run for re-election in 2 years by reducing taxes. He's been known as the tax and spend president, and now by taking the lead in reducing taxes, doing a complete roundabout, he can silence much of that criticism. Of course, it will cost the United States dearly in terms of more debt, but what does that mean to a politician? Obviously not much to Mr. Obama, and not much to the Republicans, who never saw a tax decrease that they didn't like. They also never saw an increase in purchasing by the federal government that they didn't like. And we know that by the huge expenditures by President Bush during his disastrous administration. So now Obama is following once again the Bush lead. He's followed his lead in war in Afghanistan. He's following his lead in spending and reducing taxes. So what does he really stand for? Seems to me that he was elected not too long ago because he was going to undo all of the things that Bush had done. And it seems that he's doing nothing else but cementing what Bush has done. So where does that leave us? What in the world is the use of even having an election if the candidate's going to promise things that they will not fulfill? I have often said on my extensive radio shows over the years that I didn't know if I was going to vote this year or next year or any year because it didn't seem to matter. I'd been voting for approximately 50 years and no one had ever done a thing that I ever wanted to be done in government. In addition, I'd never had breakfast with a senator or with a representative, nor lunch, nor dinner, nor even a snack or a drink. Nothing. No contact whatsoever with the so-called representatives who are supposed to represent me and vote for what I want. Well, how in the world could they do that since they've never met me? They've not only never met me, but in reality, they have just simply been oblivious to my existence. If I write them a letter, I will usually get something back from them that says that I have contacted them and that they're very happy that I have done so and that they are going to look into this, but they generally never do anything. And I sort of feel that the letters that are sent to me are sent to everybody, that they pick them out by number based on a few things that I or anyone would say in a letter to them. I think it's a sham to say that these people represent us. In fact, I know it's a sham. How could a person represent in Congress the 640,000 people in their district? How would they have any inkling what all of these people want? They don't have any inkling. They simply advertise and lie during the campaigns, go up to Congress, and enjoy, you know, the meals that they get for free on our dime. It's really quite ridiculous. I want to turn now to California, which is a bellwether state for things that are going on in the United States. And where Arnold Schwarzenegger, the governor, has declared a fiscal emergency and is now asking lawmakers to meet in a special session to save the state $10 billion over the next 2 years. Schwarzenegger on Monday unveiled the plan that relies largely on cuts to health care and social services for the poor. About $7.4 billion of his proposal would come from cuts, including reducing cash assistance in needy families, to needy families by 15.7% in April, then eliminating the entire welfare-to-work program in July. Schwarzenegger is proposing to eliminate vision coverage and increasing monthly premiums for healthy families, a program that provides health coverage for children of low-income families. The governor also is asking the state to limit prescriptions and cap physician visits to 10 a year for Medi-Cal recipients. So there we have it, the so-called liberal Governor Schwarzenegger in the most liberal state in the Union, California, now coming out against $10 billion in medical payments to poor families in order to save the budget in California. I don't suppose there's anything else that he can do, but I don't imagine that the state legislature is going to put up with this. But we'll see in a week or two. The taxes back to the rich. I think it's a crazy world that we live in, and I don't think we're going to ever have any relief from this. Scotland Yard has received the paperwork required to arrest Julian Assange as the net tightens on the WikiLeaks founder. A fresh European arrest warrant has been issued by the authorities in Sweden, where he is wanted for questioning over claims of sexual assault. Mark Stevens, who represents the 39-year-old Australian former computer hacker, said he would fight any move to extradite his client. But the move means there is no longer any legal impediment to holding Mr. Assange and making him appear before City of Westminster Magistrates Court. Mr. Assange is believed to be in hiding in southeast England as the latest WikiLeaks publications fuel global uproar. Prosecutors in Sweden issued a warrant for his arrest last month, but it could not be enforced because of a technical blunder. The Australian's details were also added to Interpol's most wanted website after a red notice was issued, alerting police worldwide to his outlaw status. So there you have it. The United Kingdom, Sweden, the United States, all of these nations who are basically colonial powers from Western Europe and the United States, which is a part of Western Europe, have attacked this gentleman by now going through Sweden on an alleged sexual assault charge, simply because the man has been releasing information that is damaging to the war powers of these huge countries that have stepped into Afghanistan and Iraq and destroyed those nations entirely with their technological affluence, bombing, shooting, killing, torturing, doing unspeakable acts to these people, which are now being revealed through WikiLeaks. And what is their answer? Instead of saying, oh, we're sorry, we'll reform ourselves, they're very defiant. It seems that they want to continue with their freak show of doing these things to people. They have no regret, they have no shame, and yet they're the most shameful countries on the face of this earth at this very moment. And now they're acting even more shamefully by trying to do anything they can to get Mr. Assange to shut down his website. I had them try to do that to my website, Jewwatch. They attacked me on bogus charges, which they found were bogus, but they decided that they would use their power anyway to try to destroy my civil rights to publish. And this is exactly what they're doing to Mr. Assange, that they do to all dissidents who are on to these government schemes that have created the mass hysteria around the world as to whom America or England are going to attack next. It's really despicable what these nations have done over the years. And as I've always said, America's been at war ever since I was born. Every day of my life, they've been at a war. And when one war is over, they want another one immediately. They just simply turn their head to the next one. Because these nations are capitalist nations. And capitalist nations evidently cannot live without having a war every minute of the day. In addition to what's going on in Sweden and the United Kingdom, The Swiss postal system has stripped WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange of a key fundraising tool Monday, accusing Mr. Assange of lying and immediately shutting down one of his bank accounts. The swift action by Post Finance, the financial arm of Swiss Post, came after it determined that the Australian citizen provided false information regarding his place of residence during the account opening process. Assange told Post Finance he lived in Geneva but could not offer any proof that he was a Swiss resident, a requirement of opening such an account. Post Finance spokesman Alex Josty told the Associated Press the account was closed Monday and there would be no criminal consequences for misleading authorities. "That's his money and he will get his money back," Josty said. "We would just close the account and that's it." The setback leaves Assange with only a few options for raising money for his secret spilling site through a Swiss Icelandic credit card processing center and accounts in Iceland and Germany. So you see the knot tightens around the throat of this reporter for being audacious enough to print the truth, to simply print the cables that were sent among government officials, which identify these officials as criminals. And they don't like it, so they want to shut him down. You see, what these war criminal nations want to do is to continue their criminality. They want to continue to invade nations, to beat people up, to imprison them, to torture them, to execute them, to do whatever they want in order to have their way with countries where they do not even reside. They have no respect for these countries or their citizens. They have killed millions of them over the past 10 or 20 years, and they continue to make plans of killing more millions. And for them not to be able to do this in silence, for them to have their cables and so forth, even where they discuss among themselves the deceits that they have against even their friends, they don't want that to happen because it might upset their little winning card, whereby they can take superior weaponry, go into a small village or nation, shoot everybody up, and have their way with the leaders. They want to continue to do this. They want to continue to live in the unfairness of their military victories, which are hard fought and which usually come to nothing because within a few years they have to leave the countries because they basically run out of money because they spend too much doing it in the first place.